welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Jennifer Curtin, good morning to you.
Morning.
What a morning to talk to you this morning. let's just sit back. Good morning to you. Morning to you. And let's just sit back. Let's have a look. Just settle it. Look at our cards. Look at the cards we've been dealt this morning. And what the dickens is going on with the conservative, clear-thinking, grown-up, and always a little bit more mature than you are, National Party?
Yeah, well, you know, we have to send our best out to Jamie Lee Ross, who's had to take leave from Parliament for health reasons, and also he's saying for personal reasons, so that kind of gives you an indication that it's best not to kind of, like, gloat or get too mean or anything about the situation. But Simon Bridges still doesn't manage to pull off, you know, the best. You know, he falls over his words and starts to call
splatters
it not
out
only
the word embarrassing.
Yeah, and uses the word embarrassing. And I think, you know, like, they then asked Jacinda Ardern, and she said, well, she wouldn't use the word embarrassing. She didn't use the opportunity at all to slate Simon Bridges, any of those things that, you know, we might normally see in politics. So I was sort of thinking that, you know, all that discussion of kindness that she was talking about last week at the UN, she's still putting into practice.
I just see this is the thing that absolutely impresses the hell out of me. It really does. Like, obviously I'm a big fan of hers. She's on the show. She was on the show before she was even
leader.
Before she was even before she was even in the rankings there, you know. And and that's what I just blew my mind, you know, just watching that. And it's inspiration. You look at Donald Trump, people can argue that Donald Trump's a good guy or a bad guy and what his history's like and the way he treats people and that. But as an inspiration, as a bringing your kid up to say, hey, here's what a politician should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm especially when she's on Colbert's show.
Wasn't she a star?
Owned it. Yeah, you know, like you've seen movie stars who have done that 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times fools themselves on that show. But she owned it, and especially at the end when he kept trying to get her to sort of say, yeah, I did laugh at your president, you know, sort of thing, which would have been funny as well.
Yeah.
But the way her answer, when he said, so what did you do? And she said, I observed. And I thought, what a beautifully considered answer that is, you know. And also then somebody wrote, here's Twitter again, bugger. Somebody wrote on Twitter and they came back about another actor in New York or something like that, you know. And I thought to myself, I didn't tweet back because I can't be bothered.
No.
I thought to myself, there's another hater hating on somebody who manages to do fantastic work without hating on anybody.
Well, and I think that's the thing. I think we're really, in this really unfortunate place where people think that in order to demonstrate strength, you have to be an asshole, and in politics, because that, for some reason, probably because it's been, you know, in the past dominated by very oppositional politics. But MMP brings coalitions. Coalitions require consensus and considered deliberation and debate. But she brings this additional thing, which is this. You know, she wants to keep hope and calm and kindness and strength in there, but people are really struggling to see strength in something that is a nice way of doing politics. They think being kind and you know,
my parents smack me. There's no reason why I shouldn't smack my kids. That sort of thing.
yeah, but civility in politics is actually something conservatives as well as liberals care about. But when it comes to seeing it being done in practice, they sort of really struggle to categorise it, which is really unfortunate, but
it is.
Good on her for kind of sticking with it when these opportunities pop up right in front of her to diss the opposition. It would be so easy.
So yesterday, you know, it was all hearsay and it was all sort of hypothetical, and we did it the same on breakfast yesterday. Just sort of outlined what was going on and what the mood of the nation might be thinking, and there are people who might say this sort of thing, or those little things. You know, the common sort of, and this is just the common chit chat, was that the leaker of Simon Bridges' travel reports, which I still actually, I think he should have just put behind him like ages ago. They weren't actually that expensive when you look at it and you break it down and you just do a bit of journalism and sit there and go, now hang on, just give me another minute or two to read this. Oh, hang on, I just need to ask one question. That would have calmed the whole thing down if journalism had gone that far, even, you know. But he, you know, they've made this big deal about this leak in the party, so now it's Jamie Lee Ross is the leak. That's what they're inferring, I think, you know, and that's what people are led to believe because of the actions of the National Party yesterday and what Simon Bridges said. And maybe today it's changed, hasn't it? It's gone a little bit wider where we've heard that Jamie Lee Ross is very angry about that all being said, and rightfully so, you know, if his reasons for standing down for that amount of time are genuine, then like Jacinda said, you know, all power to him and I hope he's okay, you know. But now the net's been spread wider, I believe, than and all the National Party sort of outline parts and factions of the National Party are having their emails and electronic communications rinsed through as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Bridges had an opportunity to shut this down after Trevor Mallard pulled the independent inquiry. And a lot of commentators who probably jumped on the bandwagon when it first happened are now saying, well, that was very foolish that he didn't take that opportunity to just shut it down and not go further because it was never going to be a good look. But yeah, the timing, Bridges knew about Ross wanting to take leave last week. He's had two of his portfolios, transport and infrastructure, taken off him permanently and given to Goldsmith.
Oh, is that permanent? That's permanent, is it?
It was permanent. So he'll have other duties when he comes back. But, you know, it's really just, it is unfortunate timing. But it's more, what's more unfortunate is the way that Bridges spoke about it, not just the embarrassing, but to sort of say he's definitely not the leaker, but we don't know who the leaker is. So as soon as you sort of put those two things in a sentence, people are scratching their heads going, how can he say it's definitely not Ross if he doesn't know who it is and the investigation hasn't finished yet?
And he hasn't. Does that mean, and why has he gone ahead and let it all happen? Because, you know, like when Jamie Lee Ross would have come to him to say, here's what's happening, he would have said, okay, well, we need to think about how we present this. And if he's not the leaker, You've presented it to make it look like he is.
Yeah, no,
so,
yeah.
And now you're saying he's definitely not. Look, we're asking everybody.
I think they're going to have to tell PwC to hurry up, yeah, really, because they really must want to draw a line under this.
PwC being PricewaterhouseCoopers?
Yeah.
As the independent. And,
yeah, the people that are trawling the emails on behalf of the National Party.
Like it's hardly the leak of the year, is it either? This is the thing, and it's and you know.
But it's rats in the ranks. I think that's what it, as much as what it is.
From a party that's been for the last couple of months really hanging on the, oh, it's been a nightmare week for the government. It's been a nightmare week for the government. Oh, she's over there, but back home it's a nightmare week for the government. You know, that easy little sell is they've really blown that as well, which is a bummer.
Well, especially too now, like they would have wanted to be jumping all over the mood of the boardroom report and saying, isn't it a nightmare year for the government? Because some in the media have done exceptionally well at highlighting the 23% who don't think the government is doing well. And so they had a lot to go on in there in terms of the scores for the different ministers and so on. They could have been making hay, you know, in the way they like to do. But this has just meant that they have to kind of sort out their own houses before they can go after the government.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to unleash the smug, are they?
No.
The mood of the boardroom is a survey the Herald did. How does that all work, and what sort of questions do they ask, and what sort of people in boardrooms do they ask, and are people in boardrooms really a cross-section of business, really?
Well, there's the CEO. They call it the boardroom, but it's actually the CEOs rather than the boards of, 150. And they've been doing it for quite a long time. I went back and had a look at the first year mood of the boardroom after John Key had been elected just last night. So this the one that came out yesterday was they asked these 150 CEOs to rank how they're doing on the economy, what are the big issues, who are the ministers that are performing really well, what's wrong, and that sort of thing. It's quite a free-for-all for them, and they get fabulous coverage, and some of them...
They get way too much coverage.
Oh, absolutely. It's like half the Herald one day, and then they they name a lot of people who are the CEs, and others, you know, do their snide comments anonymously. But basically, you know, most are happy with how they're tracking. 20% or something think they're performing much better than what they anticipated, but there's 23% who are saying, no, business confidence is low and all those sorts of things. I mean, the main thing, I think, takeaway points for me was that business wants Shane Jones to pull his head in and stop going around, you know, like sipping their wine at various gigs and then bagging them out when he's left.
And then and give them the old, well, we'll see.
And the other thing is that, you know, the sort of, we need certainty and we need to be consulted more and we need less reviews and more decisions. But, you know, the reviews are a process of consultation with people who aren't CEOs and don't have access to ministers. So a lot of these reviews are about trying to find expertise and policy knowledge to feed in. So while they're saying, oh, this is a government with insufficient experience, I'm really not sure how you can ask shadow ministers who are on the, you know, in the opposition for 9 years to suddenly get experience of being a minister when they haven't been in government for 9 years. So it's all a little bit all over the shop. There isn't.
It also means everybody listening to business or small business or big business or the mood of the ballroom, the mood of the boardroom, all the social problems we've got get sidelined, you know, all the spotlight gets taken off homelessness, the spotlight gets taken off mental health, the spotlight gets taken off a living wage, the spotlight,
totally.
even teachers, you know, I'm way more concerned about what teachers think than what the mood of the boardroom is.
Yeah, and I think this was the thing on Twitter yesterday, not that that's a really good source, but
really dishing Twitter this morning.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were saying, has anybody done a mood of the, you know, mood of the beneficiaries or mood of the, you know, minimum paid workers. There is a privileged position for business.
There wouldn't be any anonymous comments there, would there?
Yeah.
You tell her!
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, we have to, when you look at 2009, their report on Key, so they had had, instead of the five ministers in Ardern who's had experience as ministers, they had seven. But that didn't include John Key. He'd only ever been in opposition. And he was getting slated a little bit less, but for not making decisions fast enough and to hurry up and get rid of working for families and make those decisions really quickly. So you can see that there is the same kinds of arguments being put out by CEOs, you know, 10 years ago.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, and if you, like I say, if you just think a little deeper than the headline that you're skim reading somewhere about, then, you know, my personal experience is that Jacinda Ardern is 10 times the politician to talk to about politics than most other people in that building. You know, there's not many people who are really good at talking to you about politics, you know?
Yeah, and she is an exceptional communicator in that regard, and, you know, she'll take people with her eventually. They just need...
She was before she was Prime Minister as well, too, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. She's my electorate MP. So she when she was...
Two ticks, say? Was it two ticks? Did you go two ticks or did you split the vote?
Couldn't possibly say. But she did, on a hot Friday afternoon in the by-election, come knock at my door, you know, asking for our votes, and my son's, it was his first vote, and I was pretty impressed that someone who was quite high up in a safe seat, who, you know, in the previous incumbent, I'd never seen David Gera come ask me for my vote, but to see her knocking on the door was, I thought, was pretty impressive.
She went to my mate's suburban rugby league team prize giving.
That's just so awesome.
Serious vote catching, boom, every single one of them, boom. Hey, I'm Jennifer. Thank you very much. It's been a very interesting day. Just very quickly, how long is this all going to go? This National Party, the leak, the business, the bridges, is that?
I reckon we've got at least another week. Whoever's on next week's going to still have stuff to talk about.
Judith Collins going out shopping for something new, or do you think?
Oh, Judith Collins might be just going, could be time to tip bridges, and then, you know, he might be gone in 6 months rather than in 2 years.
And if people say that will mean that they've won the next election, I worry. But anyway, we'll see how we go, eh? We'll see what happens in this great year of, I don't even know what the hell's going on. Thanks, Jennifer.
No worries.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.